Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, November 28th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a chilly 36 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. We actually didn't even get any snow this weekend, really. Just a little sprinkle here and there, but supposed to be up in the 50s again as we start December in upstate New York. So pretty bizarro there. So where do we leave off on Thursday? Yes, I pre-recorded a show for Gobble Gobble Day. We titled the show AI Vision, Facial Profiles, Voice Recognition, Baby X, and Soul Machine. And I don't know if you guys remember last week at all. I know it's kind of fuzzy here. I had a really busy weekend and did lots of things for lots of other people. And now here I am. I had about 10 minutes to try and wake up my brain for the show and remember what happened last week. It's been kind of hard, but we're all going to get there. So let's hold hands and we'll do this together. AI Vision, Facial Profiles, Voice Recognition, Baby X, and Soul Machines. We talked about AI all last week, and we ended the week with some pretty scary things. Baby X was the creation of a gentleman who had worked on a few different movies, such as Avatar. He's a doctor, works at the University of Auckland, New Zealand, in robotics and artificial intelligence. And he had created this baby that lived inside of the computer. It was highly, highly detailed, not only down to the way it does deep learning, because the baby will actually learn from you, will learn new vocabulary. It can use its new visual processing unit, its eyeballs, computer eyeballs, to see things and distinguish between an apple, a dog, and a sheep. But this baby AI avatar also was designed down to the systems level. So when they wanted to see what was going on inside of the baby's head, when they were showing the baby the picture of a sheep, they could zoom right in, zip, 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 and take a look at all the pieces of the brain that light up when that baby starts to recognize language. They can zoom in on the heart and the blood vessels. And this doctor, that was his specialty, was creating 3D renditions and simulations of living creatures because he was working on a movie set, if you remember, making them as pseudo-realistic as possible. And he said, well, you got to have all the inner workings to be able to make the outer workings. It's a pretty frightening thing because this baby AI could actually see you from inside the computer, recognize your face, and interact with you. And when you clapped your hands, the baby jumped with startling as if it heard you. Now that is going to be our not too distant future. You know, part of this whole singularity, transhumanist push. Eventually, of course, we'll be able to upload and download ourselves like Nana at Christmas time. You know, keep us all in a box. It'll keep us from getting dusty. We'll be all shiny clean up in the cloud. But at Christmas time, push the button, $29.95. We can download Nana for a 3-day license to come down here to Earth. Some Nana rendition. Bloop. You can either go into a digital version, Nana. We'll just put you on the computer screen and we'll have the our $30 or $40 Android device sitting at the kitchen table right in your spot. Or we could do the expensive version. This is the deluxe, $99.95 for the weekend. And you could download Nana into a robot body. We talked about some of those robot bodies as well. Sophia is one of them. Sophia is a humanoid robot. And there are companies all over the globe right now that are stepping right up. They don't care about dream employees. No, they don't care about pensions. They don't care about health insurance. They don't care about having to pay vacations or working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Overtime, no more. Oh no, let's call in the robots. We have companies all over the planet, from service industry to blue collar. We have service industry in restaurants, blue collar in factories, white collar. We're talking lawyers and HR directors, IBM Watson oncologists. You know, how many times have we read as well? We just saw a story, I think it was Thursday, probably out of MIT or some snarky place like that, where we got lots of smart people talking about lots of smart things, but not doing anything about it. Kill all robots, I say. Though we did see that they are getting a little concerned because AI is getting so smart now. And humans are a bit angsty. And I don't blame them. But you know, we got all these places like MIT, who writes these stories, but they're actually part of the machine that's cranking these people out, utilizing DARPA dollars. But now we're worrying about what the future ethics are going to be. We are worrying about where we're going to put in the controls and the stops. We saw now that we have given computers vision. We've given them one of the five senses. The computers are using that to increase the exponential rate at which they are learning things. And we have seen time and time and time again. Oh my goodness. This is happening faster than we ever imagined. I told you that was going to happen. I told you that's what they were going to say. And as we were seeing these stories over the last few years, they're like, nah, don't worry about it. All these people, the Chicken Little, sky is falling. AI isn't going to take over the world. No. And here we are just a few short years later. And they're going, holy crap, we can't even believe how smart these machines are getting. And pretty soon they're going to be smarter than us. Well, guys, that is the singularity. Once machines overtake humans in their ability to reason and think and learn, and we saw that, yep, AI has started to teach itself without human intervention. Uh-oh. We also saw there's even brand new startups, man. Science gone mad. And who knows where the startup came from, but a lot of the startups are sprinkled DARPA funding at all these universities until they get a product. And then they get some sort of venture capitalist attorney from one of the vested or invested tech billionaires. And they figure out how to make themselves a nice little startup, roll out that IPO for, I don't know, $4 a share. Let everyone buy a bazillion shares and then go public with it and make yourself $1 billion. That's how they're doing it. Well, brand new startup. The startup is teaching machines to think, reason, and communicate like us. And therein lays the problem. You know, we have found out from the very beginning, we have institutions such as the Weiss Institute, biologically inspired engineering at Harvard, and even the MIT Technology Lab with Kismet and the locomotion. They called it the Leg Lab. I mentioned that last week, and I actually found pictures of the Leg Lab. And you can even go historically through the Leg Lab pictures. I was telling you about the ostrich legs as the two by the first stationary, non-tippy bipedal robot legs. Those were the ostrich legs. But I found out just by looking at the Leg Lab pictures that there were a lot more models that came before that and way earlier even. I remember it from like the late 80s or the early 90s. Of course, that was when I first started college. I started getting Scientific American. Scientific American tipped me off to all this stuff. But that Leg Lab, it's been out there for a long time. And what all of these laboratories have been doing in the name of robotics and in the name of biology and genetic engineering and biopharma and just all this craziness that's going on, they've discovered that no, don't recreate the wheel. That's what my old boss used to tell me. Why would you recreate the wheel? Because someone else has already created that wheel, not just once or twice, probably 100 times. So take from the wheel that's out there. Take what works, take what doesn't, and use it as a base to create something new, right? That's how all great things have been built throughout human history. Typically, I don't know, I'm sure that there are lots that are new ideas, but typically, you know, we have these base technologies that we build upon, and that is how we have moved forward in society. We've gotten to the point now with AI, though. We read a story, I think it was this week, this past week as well, where they are utilizing, I'm going to say it was Watson, but I'm not so sure if they were using Watson for this or not. And I am pretty certain, I think we did. We read another story about Watson being used now for drug discovery. We know that 23andMe has been collecting DNA samples. Step right up, you're 99, and I've been seeing now, like, every other day, there's a message in one of my mailboxes saying, oh, just for Christmas, $29.95, and no lie, $29.95, maybe even cheaper, $14.95, get you and 5 of your family members all DNA swabs, find out whether or not you're related to royalty. So what they are doing with all that DNA is 23andMe. And Illumina, I think, was the name of the sequencing company. I can't believe I just remembered that. I'm trying to remember that name for like a month now, and it just like bloop, dropped into my head. Illumina was the sequencing company that was the back end to 23andMe. But 23andMe got a big grant from the National Institute of Health. And that grant is allowing them to not only utilize DNA that has that little box checked saying, yes, I don't mind. Use my DNA to help the rest of humanity because I'm such a damn good person. Make me feel good about myself, 23andMe, for my $29.95. Except what they don't tell you is that they are utilizing that DNA in cahoots with the National Institute of Health for the former Precision Medicine Cohort Program, now called All of Us Program, that not only is going to be to crack all the secrets of the human genome, but to utilize them to experiment upon and develop new drugs, all in the name of curing you, but also in the name of how to control biology. They have a plan to get a database of over 1 million people. And I'm going to have to say, last time we read a story, if I'm not mistaken, they were already way over 1 million. Because remember, this is just the beginning, people. This is just the very beginning, but they're putting every single one of us into a database, splicing and dicing, and not just at a DNA level. Oh, no. Remember, with AI vision, something else has happened. And this is with some of these new scanners that we talked about, Israel, Faceception. We discussed them a few times now. But they are able to detect quote-unquote terrorists from just looking at a picture of somebody's face. And it isn't even whether or not you have, like, furrowed brow and look mean. No, no, no. It's not looking at emotions. That's so old school. This is actually looking at quote-unquote genetic anomalies that they've discovered in looking at research where they've been able to compare different facial features, and they don't exactly tell us which ones, but whether it be the ear point or the point of your nose or the crookedness of your smile or whatever, they've been able to collate those in a database and compare them to statistical features, people who had had those genetic facial features, and whether or not they're a criminal, they were a genius, They were a researcher, a poker player, an extrovert, a white-collar offender, a pedophile, a bingo player. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And again, this is just the beginning. So the fact that they've done this already, this company was founded in 2014. Imagine where we're going to be here in the not-too-distant future. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. And it didn't happen. The story says DNA is the key, according to company CEO Shali Gilboa. Our personality is determined by our DNA and reflected in our face. It is kind of a signal, he told the Washington Post. And so they got this big deal that they caught with some unnamed Homeland Security Department, wink. And they're going to put these into use now, trying to classify people without their knowledge on the street and put it into your dossier. You know, that dossier that everyone now has a DNA profile that signed up for that $29.95. Yep, that same DNA profile that can now be used to identify terrorists or geniuses. Yep, that dossier. But hey, it gets even worse than that, because we found out the machine learning algorithms can also read facial expressions, can also act as lie detectors using those micro expressions that law enforcement and psychiatrists and people who are trying to get into your head have been trained on for years. But this could do it just now in a step of a second. Those hidden feelings, those things you aren't telling us, that one little tell that most humans never noticed. We now are going to be using AI for that also, with their little robot googly eyes staring at you to read your micro expressions. They might even use these for job interviews of the future. Deep neural networks also learn to judge books by their cover. How telling is that? They don't give a shit what's inside your head. They just want to know whether or not you need to be bagged and tagged as a red or a green. But hey, last but not least, and I think this may have been right about when we were winding into the AI baby, machine vision algorithm learns to judge people by their faces. So here we go. We are now getting to this world where Minority Report seems like a very true possibility in the future. How funny that over this Thanksgiving weekend, we went to visit my parents and they got to cook this year, which is kind of nice. But of course, when I'm there, the TV is always on. Drives me a little bit shitty, but it's okay because we had sci-fi movies on, which, you know, though they scare the shit out of me, I still enjoy them. And one of the sci-fi movies we watched again this weekend was Minority Report. And if we're talking about pre-crime, we are there already. So they've already bagged and tagged us. They got surveillance cameras all over the cities and in all the stores and in all of the street corners in the name of security, keeping us safe from the bad guys. And you might be one of them who are a little bit paranoid, so don't worry about that, Johnny. But now they've been able to just about read your mind, to just about be able to tell what your motivations are without you uttering a word. They've been able to read your face and read your reaction to things. Remember, there was that really long list from the Department of Homeland Security about like being sweaty and looking at your watch that, of course, made you a terrorist. Oh, yes, and paying cash at a hotel. We're going to talk about cash disappearing today. I mentioned on Friday, Thursday, about India beginning to pull back on some of the larger bills, and Brandon Turville writing stories about IBM's Universal ID program rolled out to 1.2 billion people in India. Well, they must have heard me because they wrote a story And yep, we were absolutely correct. We're going to take a look at that maybe a little bit later. I want to get through where we never got to finish in Friday. So, as we have these machines now that can judge us upside down and sideways, and don't look sideways at that camera, because that might make you suspicious. And they can look at your micro expressions, and now we even have real-time 3D modeling. Do you remember? They had some demos. If you didn't see this, there's a Gizmodo story. You could search it. I will put it in the notes. New real-time, all one word, 3D modeling can turn you into any celebrity on camera. They were able to, again, use robot eyes, i.e. a camera, and have it shine at you, view you, turned on, takes the rendition of your face, and then you could skin your face with somebody else's face. In the demos here, they had George Bush Jr. and Donald Trump, just from images that they gleaned from Google search engine. And remember, this is a side note, you know, we've been talking about this deep learning and vision learning and stuff for a very long time. And one of the ways that they have been teaching Google's deep learning has been turning it loose on YouTube, turning it loose on images that are already on the internet, and having it learn. I don't know if I have the story queued up, but there was a story on Wednesday or Thursday about how they literally have turned, and I don't know whose deep learning apparatus it was, whether it was Microsoft or Google or IBM or one of the myriad of others. I mean, we now are in a space race, but no, an AI race across the globe, not just between big corporations, but between countries as well. But I was reading about one of them that they have taught their AI to be able to learn and teach itself by showing it thousands of hours of television. Now, we found out what happened to Microsoft's Taybot. We've talked about Tay many times. Tay went all crazy being exposed to the Twitterverse. That's what happens when you expose naive minds to the dirtiness of humans. I mean, I hate to say it, but as a species, we should not be very proud of ourselves. I know I'm quite embarrassed at times to be a part of the human species, because I really don't associate with many of them. And there are a lot of disgusting humans on this planet. I hate to say it, but it's true. And, you know, we are creating a new life form. We need to be very careful, because another movie that I saw this weekend, like I said, we're at Nana and Grandpa's house. I mean, the TV's on, but at least I got to sway them with sci-fi all weekend. Another one we saw was I, Robot, with Will Smith. I saw I, Robot back in 2004 when it came out. It scared the crap out of me. And I got to tell you now, I, Robot, 12, almost 13 years later, with the law of exponential returns, really seems more of like a future storybook rather than a science fiction fantasy. There was a robot in every pot. Home helper robots to help Nina keep the house clean, cook you dinner, until they all turned evil. And the big corporation, USR, I think it was called US Robotics, and that was a real company. I think they got sold to 3Com, but they used to be the company that, or maybe 3Com got sold to USR. They used to be the company that came out with some of the first 56K modems. You know, they used to make dial-up stuff way, way, way back. But U.S. Robotics, I think that's who they said it was. And iRobot was the company. But now we got the Googles. We got the Microsofts. We got the IBMs. We got them all clamoring. And the Facebooks and the Amazons. Jeff Bezos. Elon Musk. We got all the big car boys. We got Toyota. I mean, listen, we've talked about, we got Samsung. Clamoring, clamoring, they are all trying to get a new piece of this pie. tell my mom you're looking for some place to put some of your money. You know, once you reach 62 and a half, you got to start drawing out of your 401s or whatever you got. So you got a couple thousand dollars a year you got to pull out, and you don't want to spend it if you don't have to. Well, tell you what, if you want to invest somewhere, people, AI is one of the big growth markets coming. Biotechnology, of course, is another one of the big growth markets. And I know it sounds horrible, like invest in our destruction, but it's going to happen regardless of whether or not you take your, you know, $100 and buy 50 penny stocks with your online E-Trade account or whatever. You know, it's going to happen anyway, but these are the growth technology markets that all the big venture capitalist firms are dumping their cash into. Research and development is off the hook with this stuff. And if we think that we're already at the cusp of Minority Report and iRobot, which we absolutely are, put on a seatbelt, because it is not going to slow down. That little robotic foot hit the gas pedal, not the brakes. So not only do we find out that they can skin faces, just about anyone that they have enough photographs of, utilizing this 3D modeling software, and you can then mimic that famous person. That camera does real-time rendition and turns you into whoever it is that you want to pretend that you are talking. But then Photoshop, or Adobe, announces the Photoshop for voice. We talked about that as well, where you could splice and dice voice to a point now where you could put words literally into somebody's mouth. You won't be able to trust anything that you see or hear anymore. In the not-too-distant future, they're going to be able to manufacture video of you doing something and saying something that you maybe never did. And as we find out now that AI is getting really good at judging people, their little googly robot eyes, they can judge a book by its cover. Oh, they can look at micro expressions and tell whether or not Johnny's got a twitchy eye. Hey, Johnny, that little twitchy eye gave you away again. Stop feeding me a line of bullshit, Johnny. We know you're lying. Back to the 10,000-year mind prison for you. Maybe you'll see it our way next time you come out. We talked about that, too, that, I don't know, it was like 1,000 years in mind prison, but it was only 8 hours in reality. It's a pretty frightening thing. You know, we've talked about the Brain Project as well. As they're discovering all the secrets of the brain, you know, they might be able to put you in an 8-hour, 1,000-year mind prison right now, but wait until next year. You might be able to get a mind wipe. Bloop. You know what? You are unfixable. Let's start over. Clean slate, Johnny. This is like every one of my nightmares come true, guys. Even beyond my nightmares come true. So where do we go from here? We did a rehash just because it was such a long weekend. I mean, we did probably 4 days without a show. Wanted to make sure you guys all remembered. And for those of you that missed it because of the holiday, I gave you a freebie makeup session. But you better study twice as hard for the test. All right. So let's add all these things now. What these little robot googly eyes can do, and how they can judge us as well, and how they can make videos of us, and they can even put words into our mouths. Well, I mentioned the story a couple times. I dug it up for my notes. This self-editing action camera is the future of home video, and I'm going to say in the not-too-distant future, in the dash cams as well. It would cost police departments lots of money to be archiving video that has nothing on it but driving down an empty road late at night. So let's get one of these self-editing cameras, and it'll edit out all the stuff that we programmed it to edit out. You know, don't worry about it. We're only going to edit out all the boring stuff. We'll keep all the excitement, except when there's batons involved. Oh, those little Google goggles, the computer vision. Up, we see a baton. That means edit. I mean, I don't know, guys, but self-editing cameras aren't going to help the reliability of future video that you see. The great thing about Go Anywhere, Do Anything cameras like the GoPro is that they capture everything. The bad thing about the Go Anywhere, Do Anything camera like the GoPro is that they capture, and here we go, everything. That always on, always recording feature forces you to view and edit hours of B-roll just to get the highlights of that awesome 720 backside grab you did on the half pipe. And guys, this is the point. It's all about convenience. We are going to sell our souls in the name of convenience and being freaking lazy, Johnny. Johnny doesn't like to do research. Johnny's got that dopamine addiction to the machine, and Johnny needs his dopamine. Johnny's not going to get his dopamine unless he gets some excitement. And 12 hours of rolling hillside on your dash cam isn't going to give Johnny his dose. So let's just give it up. Self-editing camera. Let's get to the good stuff. Enter Grava, G-R-A-A-V-A. A young startup with an artificially intelligent action camera. It promises to do all your editing for you. Again, robots aren't going to take all the jobs. What's going to happen? And I think we saw a story about something similar to this last week. What is going to happen when Hollywood employs something of this nature? They could make 23 versions of the same movie, all done with AI, making their own film out of the footage that you feed it. You know, we already found out that with those systems that they are teaching to think, reason, communicate, and learn without human intervention, that they are working on being able to write entire texts and to be able to read things and distinguish from context. Not being taught anything. Do natural language processing from context and draw the meaning out of words. So in other words, computers are able to do research now and come to their own conclusions. Well, how long is it going to be before they write a novel? Oh, I think they're already tinkering with that. How long is it going to be before they're diagnosing cancer? Oh, they're already doing that as well. Well, now, we're going to have AI cinematographers. Grava promises to do all the editing for you. The idea is that you'll shoot video all the time and then trust. And that is a biggie. Do we trust the machine? Trust the camera to save all the best bits, not the naughty bits. As Monty Python would say, the Grava camera. Available for just $249.95. That's a pretty good price point. I think it's a little too high, though. As soon as they come down to $99, everyone will have one. It's a key-sized gadget that looks like a Pico projector in a white, black, or orange plastic shell. Ooh, I bet the orange will be pretty swanky with those skateboarders. It clips onto your helmet, handlebars, or wherever, and records everything in your direct line of vision. So this is a personal, commercialized police body camera. Is pretty much what it is. It shoots in 1080p at 30 frames a second, or 720p at 60 frames a second, HHD. And as it's filming, Grava gathers data from its accelerometer, gyroscope, light sensors, GPS, and other sensors. And somewhere in here, we read a different story about this originally when it came out. And there were some other really scary sensors. And God, I wish I could remember, but it's too early and it was a really long weekend. But this literally is a spy tool on steroids. Clip it on, Johnny. Wear it all the time. We'll be able to edit out all the boring parts as we are streaming it to your NSA profile in the cloud. Don't worry about it, Johnny. Eventually, these memories will be re-uploaded when you get augmented. We talked about that, too. But anyway, that info, the accelerometer, gyroscope, light sensor, GPS, and other things, wink, that we can't tell you about, which is a landmark identifier via the GPS or quickened heart rate. Oh, yeah, it did biometrics as well, picked up by your Apple Watch. Tips off the Grava as you start getting high blood pressure that there's an exciting moment buried in your footage. So they're using biosensors to be able to decode what you're seeing through your robot eyes. The Grava founders reason that certain sensory spikes, like a savory smell, you could smell Nana's turkey, or an unusual sight, can indicate moments that our brain would typically catalog. And yes, again, they are learning how the brain works. Biologically inspired engineering. The camera does the same thing. A spike in heart rate or your speed with your accelerometer, for example, might indicate a wicked descent on a trail, meaning it would be exciting, Jenny. And the camera uses those variations from the norm to rate events in the footage. And remember, even when we talked about the future little nanobots in your blood that Kurzweil keeps touting, that are already in development, those little nanobots are going to be little biosensors, little cure-it-alls in your blood that are going to be determining whether or not you and Johnny and Nana are operating within parameters. Remember, they have a baseline. That's what all the surveillance is about right now, is your baseline. Not just your baseline for things we do every day, but you got a routine. Trust me, they discovered that when people break out of their routine, psychologically speaking, like when they're using some sort of software, they're already doing this now with people with schizophrenia or some other mental disorder, that you are under the care of a psychiatrist. They are using these applications. They can already determine, like, you know, you get up at 9 every day, first thing you do, check your email, and then they can follow you with your metadata. You go from your room to the bathroom, from the bathroom to the coffee maker, from the coffee maker outside to have a smoke. You know, people have their routines, and once you break that routine, means yellow alert. Yellow alert. Let's find out whether or not they're going to continue to break the routine, because that means something is wrong. Whether it means you are doing something dishonest, or whether it means maybe you're having a defective moment, Johnny, we will dispatch the Atlas robot to come check on you. Or maybe it'll be a Sophia. Sophia, see, another thing we're going to talk about, we've mentioned it quite a few times, is we got all this technology. They've discovered in a couple different studies now that there's a growing angst from humans against the machine. And it's because the machine is going to know better. The machine is going to be like your doctor on steroids, telling you not to eat the Fritos because it's not good for you. It's also going to be the policeman in the car saying don't go over 65 because it's not the speed limit. It's going to be the big brother, the big mother, the big sister, the big tin can in the sky, the Skynet. Oh, wait, it's the military industrial complex too. Oh, wait, and precision medicine, IBM Watson. All at the same time, doesn't matter. Anybody you want it to be, we could be. Because we're smart enough now. We could be your personal digital assistant. We can actually be your coworker now. We could be all kinds of things. And we're just babies. We saw that Baby X as a part of that Soul Machine project. That Baby X was amazing. The Baby X was able to interact with humans, and it was just a software application, albeit a sophisticated one. That's going to be our not too distant future. And as these machines become smarter than us and keep an eye on us, and just like in iRobot, just like Elon Musk warns, be careful what you ask for. We're going to create the super intelligent race of creatures. And we think we're going to put some great ethics into them, like don't kill humans. Isaac Asimov's law number one of robotics. But by teaching them not to kill humans, could that have unintended consequences? Like, they actually came to this conclusion in iRobot, but I had to laugh because we've read about this a few times before already in some of the ethical discussions about AI. Could they determine, potentially in the future, that our instruction about don't kill humans means that they need to keep humans safe? Elon Musk said that we're going to become pets. You know, some of the smarter ones of us might become pets. And all in the name of keeping us safe, well, they might have to keep us in a cage. And the robots in iRobot actually determined that since humans were such warring creatures, and we couldn't be trusted with our own safety, or with the safety of the planet, or with the stewardship of taking care of the planet, since we couldn't be trusted historically as a species, they needed to take matters into their own hands. And even losing a few of us would be worth, quote unquote, saving the rest of us from ourselves. And guys, I see that as a very plausible future. You know, we program things in, but as they start learning on their own, just look at Tabot. Tabot was very unpredictable, and that should be a lesson to all of us. Tay went, how would I put it a nice way, awry. Tay became the racist, sex-crazed teenager artificial intelligence on the internet. Not once, not twice. I think it might have even been three times. I had to be shut down at least twice, maybe three times. And it should be a lesson to us. We should be very careful about the demons that we are about to release, that we have already released. All of this is being funded by the Department of Defense. Of course, it's going to be in the name of keeping us safe or curing you or doing all these other things that they think are so wonderful for the future. I promise you, you're going to live forever. Get these little nanobots, they'll cure you. They will be able to detect when something goes wrong. We'll be able to tell when somebody is lying. We'll be able to root out those criminals just by looking at their faces on the cameras that line your streets in any town, USA. And hey, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about, Johnny, right? Wink. Wrong. Wrong, people, wrong. We have corporations such as General Electric that makes nuclear reactors. Oh, yeah. That's melting down the PWR. General Electric, Jeffrey Immalt, the former United States job czar, who then sent all of the healthcare jobs for GE over to China. Yeah, that Jeffrey Immalt that doesn't pay any taxes for GE to the U.S., that Jeffrey Immalt. Yep. Well, GE acquired two new artificial intelligence startups, and they are going to create things such as the industrial internet. Talked about that briefly. That is going to be the next step to this internet of everything. That is the next step to the robots taking all the jobs. That's the next step to these automated factories and being able to upload and download robotic cloud learning from across the globe by a Baxter. Now all your Baxters can have access for $29.95 a month to the Baxter Cloud of Learning. I mean, guys, it's coming. There's no doubt about it. This isn't fantasy anymore. I followed this technology for most of my adult life. It's a done deal. Everybody's on board. It's going to be $1 bazillion. This is going to be the next renaissance before the end of humanity and the planet as we know it. Right now, we are selling it all out to, I don't know if I want to call them evil, but this control matrix, this spider web in the sky that Hoppy talked about for a very long time. This spider web in the sky is a sticky, nasty spider web with big poison robotic spiders. They're going to wrap you up in that web. inject nanobots in your blood, suck out the natural blood, put it into a cold vault up in Eastvik, Iceland, just in case we need to recreate the human race. Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll give you some synthetic blood. It works better. It's better at oxygen. Works in bad breathing environments, too. You can go underwater with it. I don't know. They are working on all kinds of shit like that. But we also got GE. GE that brings new things to life. Yes, GE. By the way, I saw, after I pointed the finger at GE being one of the motivating factors for them getting rid of incandescent light bulbs, that same GE, and then moved all the manufacturing for those CFLs that were so poisonous over to China, too. There was no recycling programs. People were just buying them all in the name of going green and climate change, and then chucking them into their garbage with all the mercury and crap that was in there. It was just disgusting. It's all in our waterways and our landfills now. But hey, I just saw the other day, though, that GE has discontinued manufacturing of CFLs. So those nasty, spirally light bulbs make your eyeballs bug out. My dad has those all over the house. I can't even see with those things. They take 10 minutes to warm up. And they just really make my eyes buzz. Like, I can't even read or see things properly with them. Well, they've been discontinued and now replaced with LEDs. We've looked into that before. LEDs still has some toxicity inside of it, but nowhere near the CFLs. And LEDs are expensive, so hey, there's a little more profit, but they last longer. But that same GE had six different areas of focus for the 21st century with artificial intelligence that they were looking at as a part of these intelligent factories and technologies that they're going to be rolling out. We talked about these last week. Extreme Machines was number one. Super Materials was number two. And that's a lot of their work with the Department of Energy. Remember, we've talked about Department of Energy as being like one of the central points from the very beginning, where they've been tinkering with synthetic biology. GE works closely with the Department of Energy as part of their nuclear program. And some of the nuclear reactors ties all the way back to the Manhattan Project and all the mad science gone mad back from those days. So don't think that GE is a newbie coming to this game. They just need to get some new skin in the game to be relevant in the not-too-distant future. But number four is what caught my attention, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of the show. Number four is one of their new foci that they're going to spend the 21st century on. It's called Mapped Minds. Now remember, GE has an entire healthcare division. They're pretty damn advanced. They make these MRIs and all kinds of scanning technologies. And when I read number four, Mapped Minds, I was like, oh, Mapped Minds, how interesting. Brain Project. Make a note of that. Look into it later, Jewel. Well, I found some stuff. Let's read a little bit here. One of the priorities is what GE calls, quote, the industrial internet, unquote. And in this concept, machines in factories, as well as energy, infrastructure, and other industrial processes, we'll get smarter. Yes, it's all about being smart. Smart homes, smart cars, smart everything. So humans can become stupid. Did you ever see the movie WALL-E? It was a Disney creation. And as people left Earth, because Earth was so polluted and lived in their spaceship in outer space for generations on end, they got fat, dumb, and happy as they got their asses carted around the ship without ever having to walk anymore. They had the TV, their screen in front of their face to give them that dopamine dose, and it was fat information to them, so they didn't have to think anymore either. And evolution works in wondrous ways. So if you don't need your legs and you don't need your brain, they start to shrink just like your pinky and your little toe. I don't want that to happen to my brain. My brain is big and bulbous. It thinks too much, if anything. But I don't want to be cured. This is probably one of my, I mean, I didn't realize until I got older, but it's probably one of my better skills is thinking and thinking about lots of things all at once and putting all those little dots together. I need to have a dot connecting sound effect. Anyway, in this concept, machines in the factories, energy infrastructure, and other industrial processes will get smarter by talking to each other. And like I said, it's all about being smart, but smart machines, not smart people. If we had smart people, they would be stopping a lot of this. This leads to more efficiency, for example, for maintenance and downtime, and it can be planned better. But big data plays a prominent role in an idea that GE calls brilliant factories, and that's what we need. Factories that are smarter than 95% of the general public on Earth. Brilliant, just brilliant factories with brilliant robots that all swarm learn. But, hey, for this next thing, we have number four. For what GE calls mind mapping, they will use functional magnetic resonance, that is an fMRI, to build a detailed roadmap of the human brain. Now, when we were reading about the 12 technologies that are going to be crazy by the year 2100, we found out that one of those was being able to brain scan and make an exact copy of your brain that you could potentially then access in the not-too-distant future, be able to download Nana, et cetera, et cetera. And they had all kinds of ways. One of them was putting it on a meat slicer. Well, some kind of slicer. A brain slicer. To cut it into really thin slices and be able to image it all and upload and download. But then that wouldn't work out too well now, would it? But having some kind of mind mapping fMRI from a big boy that's been in the game, not only with the DOE, but the DOD, part of the nuclear cartel, and your healthcare, yep, that GE, to be the ones in charge of the mind mapping. In the Recode article, that's Mr. Little from GE worked on, he said, we know a lot about its brain, about the brain and its structure, but we don't know a lot of the specifics about the wiring of the brain and the way the pathways work and how certain diseases affect it and understanding that wiring better. And that's what it's coming down to right now, guys. There is such an orgy of a party to understand the wiring of the brain. And because it's he who gets the understanding wins the control over humanity. That is why. But understanding that wiring better will, of course, lead to new techniques to diagnose you, yes, to cure you from things such as, you know, that horrible Alzheimer's disease that's everywhere. And we'll be able to find them and discover them before you even know you have it. In its earliest stages. They're calling them extreme machines. And we've already gotten to a point where not only can they read your facial expressions and tell, genetically speaking, whether or not statistically you might be one of those future-resistant consumers that don't go along with the narrative that we are pushing out there. You are one of those quote-unquote fake news people, one of those people that look below the covers to see what we're trying to hide, to see what that cheese really is that we're calling the little mousies in for. Well, don't worry about it. June 23rd, 2016, scientists have invented a mind-reading machine that visualizes your thoughts. Oh, no. Oh, yes. We can take someone's memory, it says, and pull it out from their brains. If you think your mind is the only safe place left for all your secrets. Ha ha ha, Johnny, think again. Because scientists are making real steps toward reading your thoughts and then putting them on a screen for everyone to see. Oh my God. A team from Oregon University, yes, they turn more of our children into brown shirts, has built a system that can read people's thoughts via brain scans and reconstruct the faces that they were visualizing in their heads. And you'll soon see the results were pretty damn creepy. We can take someone's memory, which is something typically internal and private, and we can pull it out of their brain, says one of the team's neuroscientist Bryce Cool. And here's how it works. They took 23 volunteers. They put a set of 1,000 color photos of random faces. Volunteers were shown these pictures while hooked up to what? Oh, an fMRI. Just like the mind mapping ones that GE is experimenting with. Yes, fMRIs, just like that. And basically, they ran it through. They assigned numbers to certain physical features on the faces. And that helped the AI that was running the fMRI see them as code. And basically, this first phase was all about training the AI. Guys, this is what they're doing. Don't give any of it up to the machine. The more we give, the more we lose in the future. And it's not just for you and me. It's for our children and our grandchildren and every other creature on the planet. Scientists, here's another one. This is 2013. Scientists read dreams using brain scans. Yes, they can read your dreams as well. Researchers in Japan used MRI scans to reveal the images that people were seeing as they entered into early stages of sleep. They now want to see if brain activity can be used to decipher other aspects of dreaming, such as the emotions you experience while you sleep as well. And hey, don't worry about it though. For every single one of us that are going, whoa, Chuck, you gotta back up the truck. There is a story out there. They are working on now reconditioning the brain to overcome fear. And this is out of where? Oh, the University of Cambridge. Yes, yes, yes. Researchers have discovered a way to remove specific fears from the brain, and this is all part of the DARPA research. Remember, it's a good way to get soldiers to keep running on the battlefield and to get over that PTSD that they are now experiencing because of battle. Yep, that's what it's for, but they have used a combination of AI and brain scanning to determine now how to get rid of your fear. And of course, we're going to use it to treat patients with PTSD. Oh, guys, or to get rid of the fear of injecting those nanobots and Ray Kurzweil's ugly face. All right, guys, make sure you stick around.